Okay. We'll try our best to be good and clear this evening. I am certainly tired, I guess. But let me. We've been speaking about the last couple of weeks that in the world of Tumah v'Tahara, so when there are sfeikos, we pass in an intriguing way. Safek Tumah Birshus Harabim is considered to be Tahor. That if a person is Birshus Harabim and there's a Safek relating to their status, so we assume that they are Tahor. And the reverse, we spoke about whether that's because of a particular limud, is it because in general we have a Cheskas Tahara? So if there's a Safek, we keep the status quo and I'm considered to still be Tahor. That we saw as a Machlokas and Tosfos in different places, why exactly Safek Tumah Birshus Harabim is Tahor. We saw that Safek Tumah Birshus HaYachid is Tameh. We've seemed to learn that on some level from Sota. Just as in Sota, it's a man and a woman alone in the room, and we assume that she committed a particular act, and the Torah says, V'nitma'a. Torah says, V'nitma'a, she's usher to her husband. So we learn from there that in all of Tumah v'Tahara, if there's a Safek in Mishnah Yachid, we consider her to be Tameh. But last week, a little bit, is that Tameh Misafek, Tameh Vadai? If it's Tumah Vadai, is it... We know that she actually touched a dead body, or is it like the Chaim assumed? It's a new kind of Tumah. That we spoke about last week. We speak tonight a little bit about what makes something into a Rishus HaRabim and what makes something into a Rishus HaYachid. Let me give background to that. I want to try to do a couple of things. I want to give background to the idea of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid in general. I then want to speak about one, I would say, Kasha on a Rambam and a couple of Mahalchim and Achronim that I think are really important because they highlight some Yesodos about how we're magdir certain things as a Rishus HaRabim. So let me begin like this. In general, in halacha, there are a variety of halachas in which we refer to something called a Rishus HaRabim, more of a public domain. We speak about it in the world of Nezikin, Gemaras in Baba Kama, Gemaras in Pesachim, Andavav, Abor, Birshus HaRabim, Abor, if a person digs a pit, Birshus HaRabim. So Gemara tells us that even though it's not in your Rishus, Asu Akasav Ki'iluhi Birshuso, we make it as if you are the owner. So there's an av nezek. I am obligated for nezikin if I dug a pit in Rishus HaRabim. But there are other nezikins, the Gemara tells us, in the first paragraph of Baba Kama, in which I'm putter in Rishus HaRabim. Shein or regel. If my animal's walking through Rishus HaRabim and happens to step on something, so I am putter if that took place in a Rishus HaRabim. So in the world of nezikin, we have something called Rishus HaRabims. A boar, Birshus HaRabim, and certain nezikins that take place in Rishus HaRabim, I'm considered to be putter from. That's one area in halacha where Rishus HaRabim comes up. Perhaps the most famous area where Rishus HaRabim comes up is in Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Erevin, the Gemara in Shabbos on Davav. In the Shabbos, we know there's an Isser of Hotza'ah. I'm not allowed to carry from one domain to another domain. The Gemara tells in Shabbos that there are four kinds of domains: a Rishus HaYachid and a Rishus HaRabim, a Carmelist and a Makom Ptur. If a person carries from a private domain, a Rishus HaYachid, to a public domain, a Rishus HaRabim, so that is Nisr D'Oraisa of Hotza'ah. A Carmelist is somewhere in between a Rishus HaYachid and a Rishus HaRabim. So if I carry to a Carmelist, that's only going to be an Isr D'Rabbanan. It's somewhere in between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. We also know, in regards to Tumah v'Tahara, we have Rishus HaRabims and Rishus HaYachids. Let's start like this. On the one hand, there seems to be some evidence that we should define Rishus HaRabim in all places the same way. Harei Chazal used the phrase Rishus HaRabim. If they used the phrase Rishus HaRabim, I would have thought that we should more or less assume that whatever is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim for purposes of Hilchos Erevin, Hilchos Shabbos, should also be an Erevin, should also be Rishus HaRabim in regards to Tumah v'Tahara. That's what I may have thought. And if I only read the first halacha and parak chaf of Rambam Hilchos, Sharbos HaTumah, that's what I would have thought. The Rambam says, Kol makom shehu Rishus HaRabim l'inyan Shabbos, kach hu Rishus HaRabim l'inyan Tumah. That whatever is Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos is also Rishus HaRabim for Tumah. But nevertheless, as the Rambam continues to point out, it's not really true, and there are a lot of exceptions. Let's unpackage that for a moment. Whereas in the world of Shabbos, the Gemara tells us that there are four different domains, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Carmelist, and Makom Ptur. In regard to Tumah v'Tahara, we only have two. We only have Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. So already we see it's probably going to be a little bit different. Not only that, But there's a lot of discussion in Gemara, in Rishonim, and in Poskim, what exactly the standards are for a Rishus HaRabim le'inyan Hilchos Shabbos. Some of us may know that there are at least views in many Rishonim, perhaps many Achronim, that a Rishus HaRabim for Shabbos has to be not just like a public place, but it has to be a place in which, again, a very famous Shita, maybe 600,000 people have to be going through that location, maybe every single day. That may be more than the GW Bridge for the Teaneck people here. That may be a massive amount of people that are going over a particular location to be a Rosh Rabim and Shabbos. Maybe a really, really not so simple kind of a thing. I think that's what I think Ribiat has the stats somewhere in a safer. I don't remember, but I think it's a big deal to get to that number. I don't remember exactly the U.S., but there's it's a very high standard Rosh Rabim and Shabbos. Haraya, we don't make Erevs in real Doraisa Rosh Rabims. The reason why we have Erevs up in big cities is because we hold that those big cities are not Rosh Rabim Doraisas. That means that if that would be the case for Tumah B'Tahara, the idea of Safik Tumah Rosh Rabim being Tahor would be a pretty much non-existent halacha, because it doesn't take place that much. So while there may be discussion about Shabbos, does it require 600,000 people, we're going to focus on a Gemara in Meseches Nazir on Daf Nun Zayin. What does it take for Tumah V'Tahara? How many people for Tumah V'Tahara have to be there for it to be called Rosh HaYachid? How many to be called Rishus HaRabim? So Gemara Nazir seems to tell us, the Rambam passes this way, Hilchos Nazirus Perek Tes Halacha Tezayin, Hilchos Sharvas Atumah Perek Tezayin Halacha Beis, that the Gemara tells us, well, what's the source for Safik Tumah Rishus HaYachid being Tameh? The source is Sota. The source is Sota. We learn from Sota that when the woman and the guy she's not allowed to be alone with are together in a room, we say that we're machmir, safik tuma, we treat her like she's vade tame. Therefore, says the Gemara as follows, what is the hakdara of a rishus hayachid? A place in which two people are found. Okay. What is the hakdara of a rishus harabim? A place in which three people are found. The source is sota. So as long as three or more people are in a room that is called le'inyan sota, le'inyan tuma v'tara, a Rishus HaRabim. If that is true, and it seems to be the Gemara in Meseches Nazir, again, as Paskin by Rambam, Hilchos Nazirus, Hilchos Sharvas HaTumah, what that would mean is that Rishus HaRabim has one of three definitions. For Tumah, it means three or more people. There's three or more people. For Nezikin, it may just mean like a public place where people walk. It belongs to the public. For Hilchos, Erevin, it may be a Rishus HaRabim in which there is a massive amount of people. Maybe it's the primary street in that location to go all the way through. Maybe we have different Hagdaras for Rishus HaRabim. The problem is Shitas HaRambam. The problem is Shitas HaRambam. This is a very famous question. It's based on the Rambam in Hilchos Sota, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. It's an amazing question. It's an amazing question. This is like Achronim referred to this as a very well-known question. Now, very well known is a relative term, I believe. It's a question that Chaskina quotes in the Meiser Rokeach. The Maritzchias calls this a Kushya Miforsemes, L'shitas HaRambam. This is famous stuff. This is very, very famous stuff. What's the Kasha? Kasha's like this. Rambam says Nechasotu the following idea. What if a guy is nervous about his wife? He's nervous that his wife is not just potentially cheating on him with one guy. She is nervous that his wife is cheating on him with multiple people. So when he says kinoi, when he does a kinoi to say, you can't be alone with that guy, he doesn't say you can't be alone with that guy. He's kinala im shnayim ke'echad. V'amarla al tisteri im ploni viploni. He says, don't be alone with those two guys. Then what happens? Says the Rambam, what happens if she is then alone with those two guys? Halacha is, if shah gede tuma, afilu hein shnei acheh o avi avecheh hareze asura acha tishteh. The Rambam says that le'inyan hilchosota, if a guy says to his wife, you can't be with those two guys, and she's with those two guys, i.e. it is 2 plus 1. She is 1, 2 guys. That equals 3. The 3 of them are together. She is usur. She is usur. Ask the Achronim the following question. That is lechora explicitly against the Gemara in Meseches Nazir, because the Gemara in Nazir holds that 3 or up is Tahor. 3 or up is Tahor. Only 2 is Tameh, because we learn from Sota that only 2 is Tameh. But the Rambam says for Sota that even if 3 are together, you're Tameh. But I thought the Gemara says in Nazir that you require 2. 2 is when you're Tameh. Her with one guy. And if you want to say the Rambam rejects the Gemara in Nazir, the problem is he doesn't reject the Gemara in Nazir because he paskins like it, not once but twice. And therefore we have a problem. What is the Hagdara of Rishus HaRabim for Rambam? On the one hand, the Rambam writes, paskins like the Gemara in Nazir, Rishus HaRabim is three or more. And we learn from Sota, Sota's only Tami in a case of two. But the Rambam paskins that Sota's Tami in a case of three. What's going on? Parentheses. Now, that din in Hilchos Sota, that you can have Sota with three people in the room, is a comment of the Talmud Yerushalmi. So you could have potentially argued it's a machlok as Bavli Yerushalmi. The Bavli says it's anything above two is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is public. The Yerushalmi says even three is considered to be private. But the Rambam did not think it was machlok as Bavli Yerushalmi because he passes like the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So what is it for you, Rambam? Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is three or up? Or even if there's three, it could still be like in Sota, that's the source of all this. It could still be considered a problem. It could still be Safek Tumah, Birshus HaYachet. So, Stira and Rambam. A woman's alone with two guys. Is that called a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Should be Tahor? Or is that called a Rosh Hashanah Yachet and it should be Tame? And Sota, he calls it. He considers you to be Tame. Clarity as a whole. Thus far, one, two, and three. It's a nice question, no? I don't know. I like the question. Three answers that we will share. We will share an answer of the Maritz Chiyas and the Turi Evan. We'll share an answer of the Minchas Chinach. And we'll share an answer of Reb Shimon and Shari Yosher. Those are going to be the three Mahalchim that we're going to develop. Each is based on a Yisod of Rishonim. That's one of the reasons why we are talking about it. The Rashba in Nida and Daf Hei, in a sugya that we are not going to talk about, has a fascinating shita. Maritz Chiya says he's Ra'isi L'Chacham Echad that wanted to answer this way. Turi Evans quoted in Rambam is answering this way also, based on a Rashba. It's the answer to Tosfos' question, but the Rashba's line is as follows. There are formulations in Chazal sometimes that do not appear to be Machshiv women in the way that one would necessarily expect. There's a Gemara in Brachos Andaf Mem Heyamid Beis talking about Zimun. The Gemara says, Maya Nashe Ketre Gavre, as far as Zeman goes, 100 women are like two men. It's not an Erechin objective worth statement, but the Chazal has certain lines. The Rashba says, how do you count? How do you count? So the Rashba has a Yisod that it gets a little bit tricky, which is, the Rashba holds, Tevet Batagabi Nashim, Afilu Maya Lo Chashivi Kirshus HaRabim. Demeya ke'echad damyan. Sometimes a bunch of women only count as one. Now, that answer looks like a pretty good answer with one potential problem. So how can there be three? The answer is how many is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? It depends. One man and unlimited amounts of women is still considered to be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Still going to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But if I have two men and a woman, that would be a Rishus HaRabim. The problem is that as Maritz Chiya points out, while that answer would explain why a case of two women and one man may be a problem, it doesn't really answer our Rambam case. Because what's our Rambam case? Our Rambam case is a case of one woman and two men. That could still be a problem. That's still an issue. He says, V'ra'isi l'chacham echa t'orso t'areis divri ha-Rambam al-pi ha-Rashba. But he says, "V'dachisi divrei achacham dim emes dekuf kechad damyan, aval kolponim isha achas nechsheves laachas v'kevin sheishnei anashim v'isha achas shuv chashuv rishus harabim." And the Rambam only says it about women, not anybody else. So the first potential answer would have been answering based on the Yisod of the Rashba. So the Rashba being that five women count as one, 100 women count as one. So while it doesn't answer the Rambam, it does tell us something about rishus harabim, which is. Which is a Rabbim is three or more, just who counts? The answer is women count as one. Men count, each one individually, whatever they are worth. So that answer is rejected by the Maritz Chiyas, but at least it gets us going a little bit. This Hagdara of Rosh Hashanah Yachid is a little bit more complicated. So do we have an answer that will actually sort of work? Now we come across the Minchas Chinach. It's a long Minchas Chinach. Minchas Chinach develops his idea based on the Yesod, not of Rashba, but of Tosvos in Sota. Tosvos in Sota on Daf Chavches Amid Beis. Tosvos in Sota on Chavches Amid Beis. Tosvos tries to figure out there are other criteria for what's considered to be a Rishus HaRabim and what is considered to be a Rishus HaYachet. Chato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shakol Ni'avara. That's what I'm here for. Says Tosvos as follows, the following thing in Tosvos. It's an amazingly intriguing idea. The Makos people here will be excited. Hopefully that is all of us. Venira. Delo chashvinan tuma. I'm just saying, I'm not Mekabel. Anyone's not a Shas person. Venira. Delo chashvinan tuma birshus harabim. Ela hecha disfeka haisa yichola lihios gluya lekol. Tosvos has a yesod. Tova says the only time it's ever called a Rishus HaRabim is where the suffix could have theoretically been public. It's where the suffix maybe could have been public. But if it's a very, very private suffix, we'll come back to means in a second. Even if other people are theoretically around, if the suffix itself is private and intimate and people really wouldn't be able to see it, it's still called a Rishus HaYachid. Says Tovas and Sota, the only criteria, not how many people there is, but what kind of suffix it is. There are particular sfeikos that are so private that even if somebody else is around, others would not be able to identify what exactly was taking place. Says the Minchas Chinuch the following Torah. A woman alone with two guys, even though there's three people there, it's still a Rishus HaYachid because the suffix itself is private and the suffix itself only existed within two people. How come? Why exactly would that be? So the Minchas Chinuch quotes a Gemara in Meseches Makos. The Gemara talks about if you wanted to be the Gemara in Dav Zayin, Ilu Hayinu Bisanhedrin, Lohaya Nerag Adame Olam. The Gemara tells us some of the Tanaim said if they were in Sanhedrin, no one would ever have been killed. How come? Because if people said that someone was Boel Erva, what would they have asked them to pop them from being Boel Erva? What would they have said? There's no way you saw the intimate real Maisabiyah. Use something that's similar to Maisabiyah. You didn't see the real Kimchol Bishvil Feres. You didn't see the actual Maisabiyah in that kind of a way. Says the Minchas Chinuch, what do I learn from there? I learned from there that Maisa Biyas, even if two people are around theoretically and they're witnesses, they don't see the actual Maisa Biya Ba'atzmuso. They know what's happening, but they don't see the real Maisa Biya. Therefore, says Minchas Chinuch the following answer. The only criteria for what's called Tuma Birshus HaRabim is not the amount of people. Even if there's a lot of people around, but the suffix is a suffix that is deeply intimate, in which other people would not be able to have access to, that's still called Rishus HaYachid. That's still called Rishus HaYachid, meaning Rishus HaYachid is not only how many people, but if there's more people, but the suffix is very, very private, that's called Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, what's the suffix of this woman with these two guys? The suffix is, did she commit adultery with these two guys? Did she have bia with this guy and bia with this guy? Even though there are multiple people around, this is still a Rishus HaYachid Dikasvara. It's still a suffix of a Rishus HaYachid because no one else, even if she's with this guy can't see the suffix. Because Kimchol B'Shul Feres, even Edom don't see the actual Maisabiyah. Even Edom don't see the actual Biyah. So it's not considered to be a public suffix. It's more private. In that sense, says the Minchas Chinuch, based on Tovas and Sota, the following idea. The Rambam and the Gemara Nazir are speaking more generally. Generally, three people make something into a Rishus HaRabim. Two people is considered Rishus HaYachid. But even the Rambam agrees, it's possible to have situations where there are three people around and it's still called a Rishus HaYachid. When is that so? If the suffix is very intimate and very, very private, and even those around wouldn't be able to see it. So once that's considered to be the case, he says, that's Pshat in Rambam HaKosota. Midin number of people to Rishus HaRabim. But there's another criteria. And the fact of the matter is, it was done in a private enough kind of a way that, okay, that suffix is private.
because no way the third guy saw it. It's ki'ilu it's a two-person suffix. It's ki'ilu it's a two-person suffix. It's ki'ilu that there weren't three people really shayach there, because it was really so private. Clarity as a whole on that? For okay? Okay. Sharp. It's a very sharp insight. So we saw as follows. Suffik tuma b'shayach b'sharabim. The Gemara Nazir establishes two and three. But we saw thus far, based on the Achronim, that in the Rishonim, there's two additional sort of shitas adding nuance into this. The Rashba shita, that maybe all women count as one. And Tovas and Sota shita, that even when there's three people present, if the suffix is a very private suffix, it's still called the suffix of Rosh Hashayachet. And this is a very, very private suffix. This is a very private suffix. Rav Shimon and Shari Yosher does not like this answer. Shimon and Shari Yosher does not like this answer. Shimon says like this. How do we paskin l'maisa? Let's say you have two witnesses that see a couple having bia. Are we actually makbid that they see kimichol b'shofaras? Sounds like not. Sounds like l'maisa to convict a couple for having bia, we don't require kimichol b'shofaras. We don't require that degree of certainty. Therefore, says Reb Shimon as follows. If we don't require that for chi of misa, if we will kill couples for being together without seeing the actual real intimate act taking place, I'm not sure the act of that we would say that the act of intimacy is called Rishayachet here. It's not really that private because we don't require that degree of very specific kind of knowledge. So Shimon thinks the fact that we're willing to forego Kimichol B'Shvoferes for Chi of Misa, there's no reason why it should be called so private for Tumah V'Tahara. Not so clear. That's what Shimon says. I'm not so sure that this is so true, because I'm not sure we're really mocked but on Kimichol B'Shvoferes as much. If I see a couple fooling around, that's gonna, at times we can assume they probably have Bia together. The third guy there, that's a public thing, can see the couple's fooling around. They're going to Bia together, so Mishtama not the biggest deal. So he saw as follows. Shayachar V'Sharabim, 2 verses 3, famous question in Rambam. How could the Rambam say Hilchos Nazir v'Sharav Satumba that even three Sharabim, he paskins for Sota, which is the source of all of it, that three people's Tameh, That is, we saw one potential answer, which doesn't really work out. The Rashba, all women count as one, and therefore if I have five women and one guy, it's still Shayach, it counts as two. We saw the second answer, which is the Mechas Chinach, that this is a private Safek, because no one sees the actual Maisabiyah, and therefore it's Shayach, because it's very, very private, even though people happen to be around. Reb Shimon has a third answer in Shari Yosher. Shimon has a third answer in Shari Yosher. This is a very, very important yesod. Happens to be it's really important yesod for Sota. And it's one that we will relate to. I want to share it to you because I don't know, Sota's not in the normal yeshiva cycle the same way. So it's definitely good for us to speak about Sota because it's part of our mitzvah d'oraisa of Torah knowledge. There is a shaila. It's Baba Kama Yud Aleph, for those of us that can only learn things from there. There is a and the Kuzari, if we learn London from the Kuzari. We spoke about there's three areas of Torah. There's Dine Mamanos, there's Isurim, and there is Tuma. Dine Mamanos, Isurim, and there is Tuma. What is Sota? I would have thought that Sota is a case of Isurim. Is the woman usher to her husband, or is the woman mutter to her husband? Did she cheat on him or not? But Chumash uses a phrase called Tuma, Vinitma. She was mitame herself. But that doesn't really create Tuma. So is Sota, questions, it's not, come here to ask more about Nita than the Shaila. But is it really a chashash of Isser? Or is it more in the realm of Tuma? Now, if you wanted to make an argument that Sota's really a Tuma Shaila, you have a pretty good raya, which is, what's the mucker for Suffolk Tuma, Bir Shush Hayachid? Sota. So if Sota is Tuma, that raya makes a lot of sense. We learned from Sota to all Dine Tuma. A woman who cheats on her husband apparently gets contaminated, is impure, Vinitma'a. We learn from there, Kolius the Kadina, and we learn from there general ideas about Tuma, because Sota at its core is really Tuma. But points out Reb Shimon, but there seem to be some rayas that Sota is really an Isser v'heter shayla. It's not really Tuma. But if it's really Isser v'heter, so how do we learn from Sota to a Yisod about all of Sota Tuma b'Shayachid?
So if you remember, we quoted last week pretty quickly that there are those who hold that even though we learn from Sota, it's also, the Gemara makes it sound like it is also a halacha l'moshe misinai. What does that mean? If I learn from Sota, why is the Makar also halacha l'moshe misinai? Shor Shimon explains. Sota is really a question of Isurim. The halacha l'moshe misinai says that we can learn from Sota, which is an Isur case, to extend that to halachas about Tuma. And then to halachas about Tuma. But does the Gemara say Isur mitumah lo yalfinan? The answer is Isur mitumah lo yalfinan, except when there is a halacha l'moshe misinai that says Isur mitumah here, yalfinan. We can do that. That is the halacha l'moshe misinai. God from Sinai can do whatever he wants, whatever rules he wants. So it works. Okay. Says Rav Shimon the following. So far we're good. So far we're good. Here it gets a little bit trickier, but I think it'll be okay. Says Rav Shimon, when we learn from Sota to Tuma, it doesn't mean that we are extending every halacha about Sota to Tuma, because they're not mamish the same thing. Sota's Isurim, Tuma something else. It's not mamish the same thing. Says Rav Shimon, I think what Pshat and Rambam's like this. Rambam's like this. It's a halacha l'moshe misinai to learn from Sota. But what do we learn from Sota? We learn from Sota the normal average case. We learn from Sota the normal average case, which is one guy and one girl together. The stam case in Chumash is one guy and one girl together. And we learn from the stam case to all halachas of Tuma Vitara that it's two people with Shayachid. We learn from Sota, but if there's more than two people, it's called a Rosh Hasharabim. Called Rosh Hasharabim. Because the halacha l'moshe misinai said, we learn from the normal rule of Sota to Tuma Vitara. But says Rav Shimon, the Rambam Shita, quoting the Talmud Yerushalmi, Perek Av Gimel Hilcha Sota, that a woman could be usher even if there's kinoi with two men, that's not the normal Sota case. That's a special extension Chazal make in the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's a special idea that we have, that for Sota, even if two men, you're good to go. So says Rav Shimon like this, if Sota and Tuma are really one, and I'm learning directly Sota to Tuma, because Sota is a case of Tuma, so then whatever I say about Sota, I have to say about Tuma. It's a direct limud. So if three is good enough to be Shayachid for Sota, to be Aser, it should be good enough for Sharabim. But that's not what we learn, says Rav Shimon. Sota is different than Tuma. There's just a halacha l'moshe misinai that I can extend from one to the other. But what do we extend from? We extend from the classical, normal Sota case. In the classic, normal Sota case, it's two people alone who become Aser. Upon that, the simple Pshat and Chumash, the standard case, upon that, Chazal said, we're going to learn from there halachas about Tuma Vitara. But it's not that we're learning it like mamish from all the dinim of Sota get transferred. Is that Chazal of Sinai, that what's true in the normal Sota case, we extend to this. But it's possible that Sota plays by different rules. Possible that there's a different limit in the Yerushalmi, that you could have a case of Sota with three people in the room. So says Rav Shimon as follows. This is Pshat to the Rambam. Safik Tuma Birshus HaRabim. Really, three and up is called Birshus HaRabim. Because Halacha L'moshe Misinai, we learn from the regular Sota case, that's the precedent, which we then extend to Inyan Tuma, two people, Shayachid, more Sharabim. But says Rav Shimon, Sota though is a little bit different, because it's really Isser. And while there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that we go from one to the other, it's not the same thing. And there are limudim, and there are halachas about Sota that we're not going to transfer over to Tuma. That's why, Derech Agav, there may be details in the Sota case that make the Sota case somewhat unique. There's a kinoi there. There's something that makes us really suspect. We're not learning all the Sota dinim to Tuma. It's halacha l'moshe misinai to extend it. It's halacha l'moshe misinai that we're comfortable and that we are able and that we're able to extend it. Let me just try to chazer what we did. We spoke tonight about the following, and I'm going to need like 30 seconds at the end just to add. But we spoke about the following. What's called the Rosh Hasharabim in halacha? In the Zikin, the Rosh Hasharabim, Bor Rosh Hasharabim, Shani Regal Pat Rosh Hasharabim. In Shabbos and Erevin of Sharabim, there we have four Rishuyos. In Safek Tuma Sharabim, the Rambam tells us in the beginning, if you're a Sharabim for Shabbos, you're certainly for Tuma.
but Tumah may be more expansive. We spoke here about Shilas about three people, two people, what the halacha really seems to be. We learned a couple of years along the way. The Rashba, that while it's true that three Sharabim, all women may count as one. Tovas and Sota, while it's true that three Sharabim, not the suffix, a very private kind of a suffix, but only the two of them know about it. Even if others are around, that's still called a Mishayacha kind of suffix. Mechassinus extension, that's a case of Maisabiyah. Case of Maisabiyah. Rav Shimon's idea that even though we learn from Sota, Sota's not really Tumah Vatara. Sota's about a woman cheating on her husband. That's Isurim. So Allah wants to see now that we can extend from one to take it to the other. There are many, many machloksim about what is called a Rosh Sharab, above man we spoke about. Can a place be, as an example, a Rosh HaYachid at night because no one goes there, but a Rosh HaRabim in the morning? Hilchos Shabbos, we don't assume that way. Hilchos Shabbos, Rosh HaRabim, Rosh HaYachid, it's across the board. Here, could it be different at night? Could it be different during the day? There are a lot of interesting questions. I'll ask you one question only because it's an intriguing one. We have not spoken about Chanukah Shilas, but I'll give you a kasha. It's in the Marsham and many others. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim and Daf Yates, if anyone learned these Gemaras, that the Azara is a Rosh HaRabim. Well, wait a minute. If the Azara is a Rosh HaRabim, so then all the Shemin that we found there maybe wasn't Vadai Tameh, maybe it was just, we don't know for sure that they went around during Tameh yet, at least for all Achronim. Maybe all the Shemin was just Suffolk Tameh. But if the Azara is Sharabim, so Mamela, all the Suffolk Pacha Shemin should have really been Suffolk Tameh Sharabim, which is Tahor. So yet again, we come back to the question, which is, the more I know about Tumatara, the more I wonder, why did we need a Chanukah miracle? So that's a question to speak about. Achorim speak about it. The Marsham is a beautiful mahalach about this. There's a lot of Torah in Das Torah, a lot of important Torah, but we will leave it as such. We'll try to move on next week to one more. I think we'll have one more week of a very dastly shayla. There's one more sugya that we'll talk about. Have a wonderful rest of your night. I unfortunately have to run home now, so I